A reading from the book of the Apocalypse. The sanctuary of God in heaven opened, and the Ark of the Covenant could be seen inside it. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman adorned with the sun, standing on the moon, and with the 12 stars on her head for a crown. She was pregnant and in labor, crying aloud in the pangs of childbirth. Then a second sign appeared in the sky, a huge red dragon which had 7 heads and 10 horns, and each of the 7 heads crowned with a coronet. Its tail dragged a third of the stars from the sky and dropped them to the earth, and the dragon stopped in front of the woman as she was having the child, so that he could eat it as soon as it was born from its mother. The woman brought a male child into the world, the son who was to rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And the child was taken straight up to God and to his throne, while the woman escaped into the desert, where God had made a place of safety ready. Then I heard a voice shout from heaven, "Victory and power and empire forever have been won by our God, and all authority for his Christ." The word of the Lord.
On your right hand stands the Queen in garments of gold. On your right hand stands the Queen in garments of gold. The daughters of the King are among your loved ones. On your right stands the Queen in gold of Ophir. Listen, O daughter, give ear to my words. Forget your own people and your father's house. On your right hand stands the Queen in garments of gold. So will the King desire your beauty. Is your Lord, pay homage to him. They are escorted amid gladness and joy. They pass within the palace of the King. On your right hand stands the Queen in garments of gold.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who have fallen asleep. Death came through one man, and in the same way, the resurrection of the dead has come through one man. Just as all men die in Adam, so all men will be brought to life in Christ, but all of them in their proper order. Christ as the first fruits, and then, after the coming of Christ, those who belong to him. After that will come the end, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, having done away with every sovereignty, authority, and power. For he must be king until he has put all his enemies under his feet, and the last of the enemies to be destroyed is death. For everything is to be put under his feet. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary set out and went as quickly as she could to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, as soon as Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She gave a loud cry and said, "Of all women, you who are most blessed, you who has the fruit of your womb, why should I be honored with a visit from the mother of my Lord? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy. Yes, blessed is she who believed that the promise made to her by the Lord would be fulfilled." And Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit exalts in God my Saviour, because he has looked upon his lowly handmaid. Yes, from this day forward, all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy his name. And his mercy will reach from generations to generations for those who fear him. He has shown the power of his arm. He's routed the proud of heart. He has pulled down princes from their thrones and exalted the lowly. The hungry he has filled with good things, and the rich sent away empty. He's come to the help of Israel, his servant, mindful of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, of his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then went back home. The Gospel of the Lord. Please excuse me, I'm leaking profusely and my glasses are steaming up. So bear with me. To be honest, I've never really known what to say when it comes to preaching about the Immaculate Conception and the Virgin Birth and today's feast. I pray to Mary the same as most Catholics do. And especially when I'm in times of trouble or doubt or if there's a health problem. It's strange because the Protestants will say, "You're praying to Mary, why aren't you praying to God?" But we are praying to God. We're praying to God because of what he did. He did. For Mary. I suppose part of the hesitation about the feasts of Our Lady is that it seems to be that we're saying she's different. She had this non-human knack of being there and doing things at the right time. And sometimes we'll say to people, you know, "You were there at the right time." So we say sometimes this about Mary. And sometimes we think that she was not human. She was maybe superhuman. In a book by Elizabeth Johnson called She Who Is, The Mystery of God in Feminist Theological Discourse, he points out, or should I say, she points out, that Mary sometimes takes the place of the Holy Spirit in Catholic prayers. That we somehow think that it's Mary that's doing things rather than the Spirit. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. She, like us, hopefully looked after the poor, the weak, and those in need in the same way as we do. And I think the theology of the feasts of Our Lady sometimes get a bit missed out in its terminology. We're not talking about something that's different from us. So maybe we need to bring it back down to a very basic level. So let's look at a basic level of what this feast is about. So think to yourself, how did a simple Jewish woman with very little education come to be exalted as the mother of Jesus, the mother of God, Queen of Heaven? It's about God's grace. The grace that God gave Mary. The abundant grace, so that she could become and do what she was asked to do. And like any mother, all the things that happened in her life, she kept in her heart. So if God's grace can do that for Mary, can he do it for us? God's grace transformed a very simple lady in a poor village into something we can glorify today. To criticize these feasts is actually to criticize God and criticize his ability to create in us what he created in Mary. So don't doubt about it. These feasts of Mary are not about Mary on her own. They're about praising God. So can he transform our lives? If we say yes and give ourselves totally to God, yes, he can. So I'll just say that again. Can he transform in the same way as he did with Mary our lives? Yes, he can, if we but believe.